you would, let's open our Bibles to the Psalms. Psalm 23. That's a psalm that most of us could probably quote. Psalm 23. And your place in the Scriptures, if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to draw your attention to verse 5. Let's look at that verse one more time. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Notice, my cup runneth over. Tonight I want to say, oh, for a bigger cup. Oh, for a bigger cup. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank You for Your blessings and Your mercy in our lives. Oh, God, how blessed we are. And certainly we can say with the psalmist that our cup runneth over. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight, speak to our hearts, challenge us from Your Word, give us what we need. And Lord, we just thank You for that. Now, God, I need You. I just pray You'd touch me. Just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know what the psalmist is saying and what the Lord's trying to tell us here. There's no way that we could ever contain the blessings of God. Amen. I mean, when David says that my cup runneth over, thing that comes to my mind is that the blessings just keep on coming, and he couldn't contain it. But to give you a better idea where I'm headed with the message tonight, if you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to look at another passage here. Story of a widow woman. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Verse 2, I'm in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Verse 7, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Well, I have to wonder, as maybe you have, how long would the oil have kept running had the faith been sufficient to get a few more vessels? Amen. I don't know if it would have ever quit had there been a sufficient supply of vessels. What I'm trying to say is we can't contain the blessings of God. Amen. And that cup, you know, when that cup runs over, it's like, oh my, I mean, there's nothing better than a blessing from heaven and to see it spill off onto the ground. How sad that would be. I want to enjoy what God has for me. I want to take it all in. You see, I want all the blessings that the Lord wants to give me. I don't want to waste any of it. Amen. I want to enjoy everything that God has for me. Now,
Our attitude should be, yes, fill my cup, Lord. But I'm prepared, should you be pleased to give me more, I'll not waste it. I'll take everything you give me and I will use it for your glory. I'm prepared. I got my cup, but no, Lord. I brought an empty bucket. I want you to fill. I want all the blessings that you have for me. Title of the message tonight, An Empty Bucket. An empty bucket. I grew up with parents that taught me not to be wasteful. Now, that's not the norm today, okay? But that's the way I was raised. Sometimes I kind of get irritated with some of my grandkids. I love them. I love them to pieces, but they don't understand. and we taught our kids, but they don't always pass down everything they learned, you know? I've always been careful about anything I'm using to make it go as far as I possibly can. I did remodeling for a long time, and I would make sure that I use the material that I, in the best possible way so I could get as much out of it. If I needed a 2 foot 2x4, I didn't cut it out of the middle of an 8 footer, okay? I'd go look for some scrap lumber first. Why? Because I didn't throw the scrap away the last time I did a job. I'll go to the garage and I'll look around. You know, I know I'm going to need some short 2x4s on the job today. What do I have in the way of scrap? And I pick them up. If I had a piece of plywood, I needed to cut a piece out of a piece of plywood, I'd look at every possible configuration to get as much as I possibly could out of it. And maybe I can take a half a sheet home and be able to use it on another job someday. You know, I don't waste anything. All you got to do is come by my garage sometime. You come by and I'll show you. I'll open the door. You'll take one look and you'll say, yep, you don't waste a thing. No, I keep it. I keep it all. I don't want to waste anything. But how much more? And we talk about material things that can be very easily replaced. How much more do I not want to waste something that God has for me? Amen. You ever have an old dirty bucket out behind the garage or the barn? Old bucket laying out there, and you know what happens. It fills up with water, and then it evaporates out. It gets nasty, and it just looks horrible. There you go. Yeah, there's an empty bucket for sure. I'll tell you what, you ever have one of these out behind the barn or out behind the garage? You know what I'm talking about? I was raised on a farm, and I remember an old bucket out behind the barn. And that bucket sat there, and I don't know why it was there. Somebody set it there. It could have been me. I don't know. It was sat there, and it was there for 2 or 3 years. And it didn't look appealing at all. I mean, it really didn't. And finally, one day I thought, you know, I ought to dump that bucket out. And, you know, there's no point in it sitting there. I don't know if I needed a bucket. I really don't remember. But I dumped it out. And, oh, my goodness. It was nasty. It was bad. I mean, just dumping it out didn't clean it up. I mean, you know, it was a good start, but you know, it was horrible inside. It really was. But what do you do? You know, I mean, that's kind of the way it was. But you know, our attitude ought to be, yeah, Lord, fill my cup. I want your blessings. Amen. Fill the bucket. Fill the bucket, Lord. I got a bucket. I'm prepared. But the truth of the matter is, folks, most of us carrying around a cup full of dirty old stagnant, maybe a bucket load of dirty old stagnant water in our lives, nasty sins in our lives. And we say, God, I want blessings from heaven. You want them in there? How many of you would drink out of this bucket? It's not as bad as the one I've described to you. Any takers? I can set you up. No, not a one. You don't trust it. I don't blame you. I wouldn't drink out of it either. But how much worse? Truth be known, only you and God know. Only me and God know how dirty my bucket is. Do you want God to put His blessings in that mess? Now, it's bad enough. It's bad enough to let the blessings run over the side of the cup. But how much worse is it when the blessings are contaminated by a dirty life? How much worse is that? Nobody would take a bottle of good clean water and pour it in that bucket. Nobody would do that. It'd be contaminated. Yet we expect God to give us blessings. Turn in your Bibles over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, the blessing will never be fully appreciated if it's contaminated by our sins. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You see there? Our bodies, really, we are a vessel for the Lord. We're a vessel that belongs to Him. And if we purge ourselves of all the nasty, dirty old water and contaminated life, if we purge the contamination out of our lives, clean ourselves up a little bit, then we can be a vessel meet for the Master's use. I can use you. I can use your life. I can, but no, I can't use yours because, well, you know why. And sometimes we wonder, God, why don't you use me? Maybe we know why God doesn't use us. What do? Life's a mess. Things in there that shouldn't be. What do? Hey, you dump the bucket. You get rid of it. Now, I've had that in my life long enough. It's time to empty that bucket and get rid of it. I don't need that anymore. I can forsake that sin. I can push that aside. I don't need it. Get that out of my life. And maybe, God will begin to fill it with something worthwhile. I need to empty some things out of my life. There's something we call sometimes, maybe you've heard the terminology, the doctrine of replacement. What that means is if you give up something in your life that shouldn't be there, replace it with something else. One good something God-honoring, one good illustration for that would be music. If you had a bad habit of listening to rock music or country music or contemporary Christian music and things of that nature, get those out of your life. Just get them, throw them in the trash. Throw them in the fire. That'd be better yet, so somebody else can't pick it up and use it. Get rid of it. But don't leave a void in your life. Don't leave a void. You get something good, God-honoring, and you play that in place of that. All right? Now, God will give you, if you empty the sin out of your life, you come back to the house of God and let God start to fill it with God-honoring things. And God will begin to bless your life. God will begin to give you some things that'll make a difference in your life, that'll help you, that'll help you to be the Christian that you ought to be, and you'll begin to enjoy your life. Now let me say this. If you've never been saved, a lost person, if you've never been saved, you're not positive you're on your way to heaven, you've got to dump the bucket. That's the only way you can be saved. You see, dumping the bucket is another word for that. We would call it repentance. I've got to repent of my sin. Now, what that basically means is, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I know I've offended an almighty God, and I want to do right from this point on. I forsake my sin, and I'm turning to God. I'm making a 180-degree turn. I'm leaving the sin. I'm leaving a sinful life, and I want to live a godly life. Will you do that 100% successfully? Absolutely not. We're all growing. Amen? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and you know the song. He's still working on me too. Amen. No, we don't all of a sudden be a number one Christians because we repented. But no, we've changed our attitude toward it. I'd rather have God than have the devil. You see, that's dumping the bucket. That's the lost person coming to the point that they realize, you know, my life's worth nothing. It's a mess. Now, I'm gonna dump that. And I want to turn to Christ and I want to ask Him to start working on my life. And I'm going to focus on Him and I'm going to try to live a godly life. I'm going to do my best to be in the house of God. I'm going to do my best to read the Bible. I'm going to do my best to turn to God. It's turning from sin and turning toward God. Okay? Now, again, it's not going to happen overnight. And there's a process of growing. Okay? And Christian, don't you give a new Christian a hard time. You've been saved a while. It's taken you years to get where you're at. Don't you be critical of somebody that's only been saved for maybe a week or a month or even a year or two. They're still growing. Hey, that old bucket beside out behind the barn, when I dumped that out, that was a good start. That was a repentant attitude on the part of the bucket with a little help from me. Amen. Got that stuff up. But it was still really, really bad. Can I tell you? That new Christian, he might still have some habits in his life that he shouldn't have. He might still do some things he shouldn't do. He might not get to every church service. He might not be reading his Bible every day. He might not get baptized. He might not dress like a Christian, act like a Christian, smell like a Christian. But he's heading in the right direction. You let God work on him. And a little bit here, a little bit there. And after a while, it's not quite so bad. He keeps coming to church and the Spirit of God keeps convicting him. And the Holy Spirit grabs another handful of that stuff and throws that out. And life's a little cleaner. And another week comes along and the Spirit of God gets a hold of him. And there goes a little bit more and it goes out. After a few years, gets point where we are. It still doesn't look too good, honestly. It doesn't look too good for most of us, amen? But then the Holy Spirit gets out the polishing rag and starts cleaning it up. That's where, hopefully, that's where we are. Hopefully, we need a little polishing, and we'll let the Lord work on our lives and try to clean our vessel up a little bit so it's worthwhile, so God can use it. When there's stuff in there that shouldn't be, you empty it, you dump the bucket, you get rid of that, and then you turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, now I'm ready for blessings from heaven. Lord, I'm ready. Now, folks, we might think your bucket's empty. We might think you dumped that sin out of your life and y'all look wonderful tonight. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad for that. That's great. You're in the house of God on a Monday night. I mean, what could be more spiritual than that, you know? But inside, remember there's a fellow by the name of Achan. And he looked just fine to everybody else. He had all his friends, had the preacher, had everybody fooled, but he couldn't fool God. There was some nastiness in his life. And it cost him. It cost him big time. It cost him his life. It cost him his family's life. And it cost the whole children of Israel. It cost a lot. You see, what you're hiding in your life doesn't just affect you. It affects others. It affects others. He thought he could get away with it. He did for a little while. But there was some stuff in there that shouldn't be. I'm not talking about the stuff under the tent. I'm talking about the heart attitude. The stuff wouldn't have been under the tent if his heart had been right. You see, God knows about it. There are some things in your lives tonight that need to be emptied out. I'm convinced there's some things, not because I know you, but I know people. I know what the devil does. And I know how the devil gets into us, into our lives, and how he gets into churches and tears things up. I know what he does. I know how he works. Bitterness. Take that for example. So much bitterness going on today. Sad. People are bitter against each other. Families that can't get along. Parents that haven't talked to their kids in years. Brothers that haven't talked to sisters. A brother hasn't talked to a brother. Leave the state because I don't want to live anywhere near where my brother lives. And nobody's told me anything. If I'm stepping on toes, it's the Spirit of God. It's not me. Your pastor hasn't told me one thing about anybody's relationship that way. But I know what God, I mean, what the devil does, and bitterness creeps in, and it destroys your life. Some folks are not only bitter against people, they get bitter against the man of God because something he said from the pulpit, or they'll get bitter against each other. And I get that, but so sad, there are Christians that are bitter against God. God, why'd you do this? God, why did you do that? Why didn't you do what I wanted you to do? God, I prayed. Why didn't you? And they get mad at God. They get bitter at God. God took my dear wife just, 6 months ago. I can honestly say, not one time did I accuse God of any wrongdoing. Not one time did I say, God, you weren't fair. I don't always agree with decisions that God makes, but I know God's always right. If there's a difference of opinion, I'm wrong and He's right. I would have loved to have seen her healed. I can't imagine how many more songs she would have written for the Lord. I can't imagine what more she would have done and how she would have been a continued asset to my ministry. And she was the better half. And so I say from that standpoint, from my perspective, I would have let her live longer. But I trust my God. And I'm not going to get mad at Him. I'm not going to get bitter at Him. I'm not going to stay out of church because things didn't go the way I think they should have gone. I'm going to keep serving my Lord. Amen? I'm going to put Him first. Don't get bitter against God. Don't get mad at God. Oh, all kind of things we get in our lives that hinder our work for the Lord. And I'm convinced that this bitterness thing is hindering revival in churches probably more than any other sin or all the other sins combined. Oh, it's horrible. Gossip. Yeah. Apathy. I realize a lot of folks working tonight. I realize that. And I realize some folks just can't get out. And, you know, I get all of that. But there's a lot of apathy going on in churches today. They just don't care. Do what you plan, what you want to, preacher. But I'll be there on Sunday. But I'll do that extra stuff. I ain't got time for that. It's where we're at. Shouldn't be. God forbid that gets in our hearts. You see? And then we say, God, I did come. It's a Sunday morning. God, I did come. I want a blessing. You didn't care. You didn't care about a revival meeting. You were mad at God over something that God allowed in your life. And you say, bless me, God. How many times did you stop for ice cream for your kids when they just yelled at you for something that you did and they didn't like it? No, instead of stopping at the ice cream shop, you stop along the side of the road and you take them out and do business. Amen? I mean, that's what my dad would have done. I knew not to yell at my dad. Oh, yell at God. I had a cousin. I was talking to her at family reunion. And she says, I imagine you probably had some times you yelled at God over this, just you in the house and nobody there. And you probably had some times you yelled a little bit. No, why would I do that? Why? But people do. And then they expect God to bless. An ungodly habit in our lives needs to go. It needs to go. Need to empty that bucket. The things that are hindering the blessing of God in our lives. Rebellious heart. Rebellion toward parents. Rebellion toward the man of God. Hey, it needs to go. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess that before God. We need to clean that up. Romans chapter 6 talks about repentance, about forsaking that sin, not coming back to it and all. Folks, we need to dump the bucket. Amen. Dump the bucket of sin and God will begin to fill it back up with His blessings. Amen. And that's what we want. Amen. God blessed David in such a way that David couldn't contain it all. I want God's blessing in my life. I dump that bucket of sin and God will begin to fill it up with His blessings. Don't you just love the blessings of God in your life? I mean, don't you just love it when God blesses you? When you get this feeling of peace in your heart, that's a blessing from God. Sometimes we think of blessings just being financing. Finances. I got a bonus at work. I got a little extra money. That was a blessing from God. Yeah, but there's a lot of other blessings too. I mean, there's a lot of ways God blesses us. Many times it is financial, but sometimes it's just having a peace, just having a peace in our heart in spite of trying times. I feel blessed today, even though I don't have my wife any longer. I feel blessed. Church, I've experienced something. I've experienced something that many of you have never experienced. I'm not talking about just the loss of my wife, but there's a special touch that God gives to folks who grieve. There's a special touch, a special blessing, and I've received it. God's so good. He's so good. God wants to do miraculous things in your life. God wants to bless you in ways you never dreamed possible. Empty the bucket. Say, all right, Brother Black, I got you. I got you. I'm willing. I'll get rid of some stuff in my life. I want God's blessing in my life. I'll dump the bucket. When do we do it? Where do we do it? I'm going to get rid of it. It's gone. Amen. It's gone. Glory to God. First step. Now what do I do, Brother Black? I bring it back to the house of God. God begins to fill it. Oh, boy, preacher, look at this. My goodness, that thing's about half full. Another service, that thing will be about to the brim. Oh, man, this is wonderful. I'm loving it. Oh, boy, the blessings of God. What do I do, Brother Black? What? You said you don't want to waste. You said you're not going to waste the blessings of God. Dump the bucket. Yeah. You heard me right. Now empty the bucket of blessing so God can fill it again. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. I want you to see this. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. Now, this is a passage that we often use for giving to the work of God, for giving our tithes and offerings and mission money and whatnot, but it doesn't necessarily say it's talking about money. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. So when God blesses me, and I've got a bucket load, I give a blessing to others. And God says, oh, you're using the blessing. No, not wasting the blessing. You're using the blessing to help others. And you bring the bucket back and you say, Lord, my bucket's empty. And the Lord says, I can trust you with my blessings. I'll fill it again. And he fills it up again. And we share it. And we bring it back and he fills it again. And we share it again. And we bring it back and he fills it again. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. I mean full. Press down. Okay? Press down. Just like you ladies like to make, I shouldn't just say ladies, because I enjoy baking too, okay? Some of us guys like that too. Alright, when we decide to do some baking, Mom taught me some things, okay? She taught me that if you're going to measure brown sugar, you get a cup full, your measure cup, and you fill it up. But then she says, push it down. Push it, because it'll compress. Push it down and then fill it back up again and push it down, fill it back up again, push it down and then scrape it off. You'll have a cup full. All right. That's a full cup of brown sugar. Now, if you're measuring flour, well, you try to push that down and you got a mess on your hands. OK, and then you're going after the broom. OK, but no, you fill up you scoop up a scoop full of flour. And then you take your knife and you tap on the side of the scoop, tap, 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 and it just kind of shakes it a little bit, and you'll watch that flour level go down in the scoop. And you can fill it back up again. And when you tap it like that, and it doesn't settle anymore. It's full. So give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. I mean, it's a good measure. It's pressed down. Okay. It's shaken together and then running over. I mean, the cup is full and now you've heaped it up and it's spilling off the sides. That's the way God wants to bless you, when you use the blessing that He gives you. But when you keep keeping it for yourself, you stuff in your pockets. Oh boy, this blessing's great. Man, preacher, you ain't going to believe how God blessed me. And the preacher says, well, I'm glad. We got a special offering coming. Did I hear special offering? I don't think I can be there that night. No, I'm keeping the blessing for myself. God will turn off the spigot real quick. And church, now I know you're not like this, but God will do the same thing in a church. Church cuts off their generosity. They quit taking care of the man of God. They quit taking care of missions. They quit investing in the world. And God will shut it off right now. God will bless a church that's not stingy with God's money. It's God's money. And God wants to reach this world with the gospel. And we don't start stuffing in our pockets saying, well, we got a program. We got a project. And we start using God's money for projects instead of God's work. And you won't need the projects anymore. God will shut it down. Find a way to use the blessing. Teach a class. How do I empty my bucket, Brother Black? Well, God taught me something. I'm going to share it. I'm going to teach some children. Can I give you an illustration? There's a man in my home church. I don't know if he still does this or not. I'm not there that much anymore, and I haven't talked to him about it in quite some time. But I know for years he did, and I have no reason to believe that he's quit. But he would sit down in the service and he would take notes from the preacher. He'd take notes in the service, and then when you go to work on Monday, he'd get a bunch of his coworkers together at lunchtime, and I think they had like an hour lunch. And he would spend, or maybe it was a half hour lunch. I don't know, but he'd spend half of his lunch time sharing with a group of people that would come and sit around the table, and he'd share with them what God gave him Sunday. And then the second half of his lunch hour, no, he didn't eat. The second half of his lunch hour, those folks would go get lunch, and another group would come in and sit down, and he'd share with them what God gave him on Sunday. He was taking the blessings of God and doing something with it. Amen? He was using it. Can I tell you that the last time I remember him saying he had led 16 co-workers to the Lord? Use what God gives you. Find a way to be a blessing to somebody. Amen? Find somebody to minister to. Find somebody that's discouraged and sit down and talk with them a little while. Find somebody that's going through a hard time and say, you know, I've gone through a hard time before. Can I encourage you a little bit? It'll be all right. You can trust the Lord. He'll bring you through it. God's blessed you. You've been through some financial trouble. I know you have. I have too. We all have. But now you got an extra $20 bill in your pocket, and you're talking to somebody and they're having a hard time. You give them a Baptist handshake. Well, there goes that extra $20 bill. But what you did is you invested what extra God gave you, and you shared that blessing with somebody else. And now they're encouraged. And now they've got gas money to come out again tomorrow night. See how God used you? You see what I'm saying? I mean, find a way to use what God gives you. Go back to the Kings. Let's look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. This is a different widow woman. Elijah and another widow woman. 1 Kings 17. And we'll begin in verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now notice, this is the part that's going to amaze you. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Hey, would to God that the average church member would go and do according to the saying of the preacher, according to the saying of the man of God. When the man of God says, Thus saith the Lord, this is the way we ought to live our lives. This is what we ought to do. This is what would please God. Then, all right, yes, sir. Yes, preacher, I'll go and do as the man of God said. That's what she did. She trusted the man of God. It sounded far-fetched. It sounded crazy. But she obeyed the man of God. She arose and did according to the saying of Elijah. And those, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. I'll tell you what that dear lady did. She emptied the bucket. I mean to tell you, no, I take that back. She emptied the cup. She didn't have a bucket load. She emptied the cup. And God gave her a bucket. Amen. And day after day, she'd empty the bucket out on the man of God, and God would fill it. And she'd empty it. And God, I mean, every day she emptied it. She literally emptied. She used up all the meal. She used up all the oil. Every day she emptied it out, every last bit. And the man of God, and her son lived many days. Now remember, she was fixing to eat her last meal and die. Her and her son would have died. But she trusted the man of God. She shared what little blessing she had, she shared it. And the next morning, there was enough in there for another meal. And every day, she shared it. And God replenished. She'd share it. And God replenished. She'd share it. And God would replenish over and over and over again. Oh, folks, can I tell you? Every one of us, regardless of where your level of spirituality is, regardless of how long you've been saved or if you've been saved, every one of us need to empty the bucket. If you've never been saved, you need to empty the bucket and turn your life over to Christ. You need to get saved tonight. You've been saved, but your life's a mess. You need to empty that bucket of sin. Don't contaminate the blessing of God. God wants to give you something worthwhile. God wants to give you a life that will make a difference in this world, a life that you'll be happy with. God wants to bless you. Dump that nastiness out and let God work on you. Let God bless you. You living for God? Praise the Lord. I believe there's a bunch of folks here tonight just living for God. I just sense that. Don't just... It's mine. God gave me the blessing. You go to church and get yours. It's mine. No, maybe they didn't come. Why don't you go share some with them tonight or in the morning? Say, look what God gave me last night. I want to give you a little bit. I want to share it with you. Now, you don't have to go and re-preach my message. That's what I'm talking about. You can if you want to. It won't offend me either way. But, I mean, just go encourage somebody. Amen? Go encourage somebody. Now, if God blesses you and your cup runs over, amen. That's a good thing. But I feel sorry for you. You could have had so much more. You could have had so much more. Oh, God wants to do something for you. Oh, Brother Black, I'll bring my cup. I'll bring my teacup. God, will you give me a blessing from heaven? Forget the teacup. I want a bucket load. I know what God can do. Increase your faith. Come to the house of God expecting a blessing. I think sometimes the reason we don't get much from heaven is we come and we say, I'm ready for a blessing, God. Can you give me a blessing today, Lord? God wants to give you more than that. Where's your faith? God loves you. He's not interested in filling a teacup. He wants to give you a bucket load. And He'll do it if you come expecting God to work. I wonder, maybe one reason we don't see a lot of souls walk the aisle is we don't expect it anymore. I wonder if sometimes the reason when we leave the house of God, we say, well, just another sermon. Now the music was mediocre. I wonder why. Because on the way to church, we were talking with our spouse. And says, well, I wonder what he'll preach today. Probably be another message. Wonder who's singing. Got what you expected. Got what you came for. Oh, honey, I was praying this morning. I woke up. God woke me up early. I was praying for my preacher. I was praying God would anoint him from heaven. I was praying he'd have just the message that I needed today. And I was praying, I don't know who's singing, but I was praying that God would help them with their voice. I was praying God help them with their memory and they wouldn't skip a line or anything. And I was praying it went just well, just right. And I was praying this morning that God would bring some lost folk in and maybe somebody get saved. I've been praying for an hour. Is it time to get ready to go already? Oh boy, let's hurry up, honey, let's go. I want to be early tonight. I want to be early to the house of God. And we come. Oh boy, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. Hey, why? Because we were expecting God to bless, and He fulfilled our wildest imagination, our wildest dreams. He gave us so much more than it could have been. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father in heaven, oh God in heaven, I pray You'd work in our hearts. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the bitterness, for the anger, for the apathy, for the nasty habits. God, give us the determination to dump that on the altar tonight. And say, Lord, I'm giving that up. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I want Your blessing in my life. Father, help us to expect a blessing and then be prepared to receive it. Lord, have Your will and way in each and every heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, before I finish my prayer, just have a couple of quick questions for you tonight. You'd say, Brother Black, I'm saved and I know it. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Could you lift your hand up as a testimony of God's grace in your life? Hold it up nice and high for just a moment. I'm saved and I know it. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. Perhaps you couldn't raise your hand. You'd say, Brother Black, I really don't know for sure. You can. I really don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but honestly, I really don't want to go to hell. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world, but I'd like to pray for you. You'd say, Brother Black, I'm just not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just slip your hand up. Put it up. Put it down. Anyone at all. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell. Anybody? Anybody? Christian, maybe you'd say God spoke to me in some way tonight. God spoke to my heart tonight. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up? Let me pray for you tonight. Yes, yes, yes. Several hands. Others, include me in that prayer. God spoke to my heart tonight. Include me in that prayer, Brother Black. Anyone else before I pray? Yes, yes. I see another hand. Others? Father, You saw the hands that were raised. And most importantly, Lord, You see each and every heart tonight. God, I would ask that if You spoke to hearts, that they would come speak to You. Well, perhaps they can't kneel at an altar, but they could sit on the front bench. They could get as close to the altar as possible and speak to You about what You spoke to them about. Father, bless the invitation. Lord, though no one raised their hand, my heart goes out to those that don't know for sure they're going to heaven. God, help them. Give them the courage. Give them the courage to step out of their seat. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can get it settled tonight. Have Your will and way in the service and the invitation, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name.